tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, welcome along to Tip Today. Happy Friday. 1800 938 007, that's our free phone number. It won't cost you anything to make a call to us, and Ali is looking after the programme today. Coming up on the show, it appears to be a one-horse race for Fine Gael leadership. An ESRI report finds that the majority of people in Ireland are positive about the influx of refugees. We'll be hearing from Fianna Fáil's Jackie Cahill in the wake of Leo Varadkar's resignation. And we'll be chatting to Jackie about whether or not the government is stable and whether or not it will continue on, following calls from all of the opposition parties, indeed, for a general election. We visit Mehel for World Down Syndrome Day, and our Friday panel will unpack the big topics of the week. So all of that and much, much more on the way. Quick look at the papers, as you can imagine. Images of Simon Harris and Leo Varadkar still dominating the front pages. The Irish Times, their angle on it is that Simon Harris is poised to become the state's youngest Taoiseach, but will face a range of demands from within his own party and from coalition parties as the government edges closer to a general election. Also on the Times today, Gardaí are investigating a death threat sent to the Israeli ambassador to Ireland last week, along with a package of white powder, can you believe? The Daily Mail and their angle on the political controversy is that the former EU Commissioner, Phil Hogan, has been advising Taoiseach-in-waiting Simon Harris for several weeks in advance of the resignation of Leo Varadkar. Mr. Hogan is believed to feel deeply betrayed by Leo over being forced to resign. Do you remember that as European Commissioner for Trade in 2020 in the wake of the attendance at the Oireachtas Golf Society dinner during the COVID-19 pandemic, to the Irish Examiner. And again, reference to Simon Harris, their headline there, Harris vows to bring renewed energy to Fine Gael. Also reading on the Examiner today that 10 men charged in connection with a major drugs operation in West Cork have appeared before various courts in Cork. And the court appearances followed the arrest of the 10 men and the seizure of a Jeep, a camper van, and an articulated truck and a rigid inflatable boat as part of a major operation there. Finally, a look at the Irish Independent and a thumbs-up picture of Simon Harris dominating the front pages there. And their headline is pressure on Harris for a reshuffle as he awaits coronation. Simon Harris is being urged to reshuffle his cabinet and promote fresh blood in a move that could spell the end of Simon Coveney's ministerial career, as Mr. Harris was yesterday all but crowned the next Taoiseach. That's going to be a very interesting thing to watch over the coming days and weeks, indeed. Will there be a reshuffle? And if so, who will be given their hat and asked to move on? Do you want to make comments on any of that? If you do, you can text and WhatsApp 083-311-3311. You can email tiptoday@tipfm.com. But first of all, this morning, it's time for Johnny Luby. Good morning, Johnny. Oh, there you go. Johnny has left us. Our connection to the Forbury Road is a little dodgy this morning. Let's see if we can get Johnny back online with us, and we see what the story is there. And as I say, if you want to make comments on any of those headlines in the newspapers today, we would love to hear from you. But that ESRI report is certainly causing a lot of controversy this morning. They're telling us that the majority of Irish people have a positive view of migrants coming into the country, and that's according to the study. However, It found that people with lower qualifications and those who find making ends meet more difficult are less positive about immigration overall, and they believe that protesting local international protection arrivals is more acceptable and still less comfortable indeed with most migrant groups. So it's interesting, and we will be discussing it a little later on. Let's see if we have a connection to the Fourpenny Road. Good morning, Johnny.
Morning, Fran. How's it going, lad?
That's all right, Johnny. What happened there? Did you go walk about or something?
I have Catherine's phone here today. She got her kind of a model one. I think I've got strong buttons.
No surprise there.
We were in Doon last night at a funeral there. God, Fran, it's hard to believe that the life of Doon, they had 14 or 15 watering holes one time. I think they're down to two or three now.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, we were in Whelan's across the road there from the funeral home.
Well, it's a great pub, I know it well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then we had driven to Moore's. But in Whelan's, you know, just guess, you know, I just said it was three terrible quick pints, I said, and a pint of water with four knobs of ice for the designated driver. We draw a lot.
Yes.
And that, and your man turned around, Pat Whelan, he said, you're the man on TFFM. He said, I don't like Limerick. And about 20 Limerick lads inside, Fran. I can have all the boss. Ah, Jesus, stop the light. But anyway, Fran, we came back then via Kappa White and down into Sir Owens and Thomastown. They had an Irish night there, Aherlow Kjol, Helen Morrissey, and all of those lads organised it. There was a huge crowd. Parking space was at very hard to get parking there. But it was a wonderful night there in Sir Owens. And look, hey. Mm. Well done to them. But
is that going to be a regular thing there, Johnny? Or?
I think they have it around, going around various pubs on Thursday nights, you know, and that they could be in Lowry's in Tipperary Town, or they could be down in Nelly's at Bench, or that kind of a thing. And that looked as grand to go down and see the lads and the traditional music. It's brilliant, great. You know, it's a grand way of putting down a night. But to go back to the funeral, of course, we're at the funeral of Carmel Ryan, a lovely girl from Golden, married to the, Mr. McGrath here in Doon. Mm. And that, and you know, it was the dreaded cancer, and that's only a young girl, you know, early 60s, and that I remember her going to school, and they're a wonderful family there with Bernie and Walter and of course Martin and their families, and the girls Mary Margaret and Mary, they're a wonderful family, you know. Mm. Years ago, they were part and parcel of Sir Owens in Thomastown, the Rhines, and that.
Right,
so they'd be related to Kerry Atchison and all of those. So, look, it was a huge funeral, which all funerals are up there, you know. And I met a great house scouter, Mick Ryanwall. He was full back for the Tracys, you see, and he was coming along with the wife, and it was raining. So I was standing outside the door. I went over to meet him anyway, and I said, I had to pull up the Long Johns as well. I said, look, there's a mark on my leg from you. And the wife said, I know you now. She says, you're the radio. So, anyway, fair play to him. He did apologise. The way he apologised was, I'm sorry, he said, that you haven't two marks from me. He said, you'd have deserved it on the field of battle. But, yeah, Fran, look, our sympathies to them. And as I mentioned, sympathies also to the Gaynor family from Kilowan MacDonagh, death of Des Gaynor, who was a brother of Len Gaynor, that wonderful Tipperary hurler back in the early 60s. Les died there a couple of weeks ago. And that, and Fran also, it's hard to believe that sympathies against the Cormac family on the sudden death of John Cormac. Only 3 weeks ago, we buried John's wife in Rose Green. She came back from London and she was buried in Rose Green. Mm. And lo and behold, poor old John went back to London then, living in London. And lo and behold, Dolan Knight, a massive heart attack. And that funeral again will be in a couple of weeks' time.
Very sad news, Johnny. Yeah.
Friend, look, some people really get it hard. I was in yesterday to meet the sisters, Danny, Johnny Hallisey, and of course Eileen Sherlock. And that, friend, they're in bits over the whole. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is unbelievable. I sat down there for a half an hour talking to them and that. And God above, it's hard to believe that some people, you know, that they're going through things like that.
I know.
You know, it's hard to get over a funeral, friend. It's hard to get over a death and that. And look, our sympathies are with them. And to anybody that lost a loved one there in the last number of weeks. You know, it's hard to come to grips with it.
Of course it is, but our thoughts are with them, Johnny. As you say, it's very difficult for them indeed.
I
couldn't even get away from you, Johnny, in Nottingham. I was there to do a concert for St. Patrick's Day, and I met a man called Eugene from Mayo. And he said, "Is Johnny Luby with you?" And I said, "Oh, Janie Mac." I said, "I can't believe what in the name of God." So I said, you're a Mayo man, Eugene. What do you know about Johnny Luby?" It turned out that his wife of over 60 years was from Golden, and she was O'Mara from Golden. Oh. And he lost her about 12 months ago.
That's right, Eddie O'Mara. So down the road from me, Matthew O'Mara and them. Angela,
so you know the family, Johnny, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Angela's married to John Cahill, the Cahill's of the Green in Cashel.
Oh, okay. I'm
a top class family, you know, but yeah. I thought it might be a different Eugene. I sold the Greyhound one time to a Eugene fella from Mayo. And the Greyhound turned out to be no good, and I thought he might still remember the whole thing. That might be that.
Well, he didn't mention Greyhound, but he did commiserate with me on having to put up with you every Friday morning. But he's tuned our way today, so we just want to say hello to him. I hardly know where to start with sport, hurling, I suppose, first of all.
That's right, Jeff. Yeah. And look, we won last weekend against Antrim up in Casement Park. Hey, all Liam Cahill could do as regards Antrim is show him respect and that, but just at the very off, word came through that Galway and Limerick had drawn. So if Tipperary were to win by a point, we were going to end up in a league semi-final. And look, we put up a good score of 221. And I suppose the big thing for Tipperary is that we had a decent enough campaign. I know we had Westmeath, but we had beaten Galway. And of course, Limerick beat us below in that savage wet night in Super Value of Parky Keeve. But having said all of that, the one thing that comes out of it is that any of the teams didn't score a goal against us. So, like, our backs must be doing something right. Playing the likes of Limerick, I would say, like, right, they're always capable of scoring a goal because they have got top-class players. But I would think that we have to cut out the freeze against Limerick because the likes of that sniper, Diarmuid Burns there from at the wing-back, I mean, he's capable of pint and freeze, which he proved again the last day against Galway, from 90 and 100 yards. So we have to cut out the freeze, especially on the half-back line centre field because he's deadly accurate. But on Sunday, now next, please God, in Port Leash, we play Clare in the semi-final of the league, which is a... You know, Liam Cahill is a smart vocal. Mm. I mean, the reporters will be asking him awkward questions by saying, look, you're flying and you're playing brilliant and the whole lot. And but the way Liam Cahill answers them is look, we have Clare this Sunday. Mm. He said, "'Twill tell us exactly where we are on a scale of 1 to 10. And he said, and that's what we have to learn. If we're beaten to our last match before the championship, if we win, we're in a league final, possibly against Limerick, who play Kilkenny in the other semi-final. And look,
what do you mean, Johnny? He takes it game by game. That's where the focus is.
That's the focus. You see, and look, you have a few injuries, a few lads to come back in, and that you know, Tipperary are no better or worse than any teams out there. To be a great All Ireland without Limerick in it, because. I think that Tipperary, you know, they're not too bad. Like, they're coming together, but we have to be look at the thing in reality. We've Waterford away in the championship. Yeah. Waterford on any given day could beat anyone. We mightn't win there. We have Cork at, maybe in Tullis, I think. We may not beat Cork. They would love playing in Tullis. The reality is that we mightn't beat Limerick. We mightn't beat Clare. That scenario is there. Now, you'd be hoping that we could at least get out of Munster, but those two teams going to be knocked out maybe within in a couple of months, and hopefully it's not ourselves, you know. But if it is, so be it. It's a learning process and bringing young players through and all of that.
Yeah,
so
it's a building process as well. Where football is concerned, disappointment, I suppose, Johnny.
Listen, the whole thing was disappointing. It was a disaster what happened. I mean, the match was to be in Temple 2. Yeah. We called off due to floods. Then, I don't know why we offered to go down to Wexford. Seemed, I think we went down to Wexford. There was two venues there not available, and lo and behold, we come back to Fiddle. Now, why didn't we go to Fiddle the first time? I didn't know this van. I said, sure, Golden was available. And the fellow said, you can't play Golden because it's not recognised as a county venue. I said, there was 300 probably, or 200 maybe at the football match. I said, Golden has a capacity to hold 3,000 or 4,000, which wouldn't be there anywhere at a Tipperary Wexford game. And that, but you see, it's not recognised. You swear to God.
I didn't realise that grounds had to be recognised. What does that mean? It has to be certified in some way.
I think that you have to have some kind of a railing around the field.
Oh.
Which we haven't got in Golden. But look, Frank, who in the name of God is going to come in? A railing won't stop anybody. If I want to jump in over the railing and have a few words with the referee, I would have it. Like, that day is long gone. You know, so, like, Golden pitch was top class. Like, many pitches out there, Borland, Cash, all top class fields. They would have housed the game last Saturday just to get it out of the way. But anyway, look, it didn't happen. They went to fed up, and lo and behold, friend, right, we had to make 10 or 12 changes for one reason or another. We're just in a kind of a bad place at the moment. So hopefully...
But the score was... Was it 4-10 to 8 points?
Look, friend, like a fellow said in another radio station, said they were beaten but put up a good show, but he never told us the score. So we'll kind of leave it at that. I suppose if the Camogie, I haven't a real model before, and I think the Camogie are in a league final against Cork. I think I heard that someplace. But Newport winning in All-Ireland above was absolutely fantastic in the school's hurling. And I don't care if it is A, B, C or D, it doesn't make any difference. The plain fact of the matter is that Newport won the All-Ireland. And they had maybe 12 of the panel. I was just looking at Tipperary's there. They had 12 of the panel from Newport itself, which is certainly good for Tipperary hurling. Hopefully you'll get one or two players through from that tremendous hurling area around Newport, but the young fellas will keep at it. And then, of course, in the soccer, St. Michael's are in a Munster Junior Cup final. They're playing Villa of Waterford, and Villa of Waterford is the team that beat them 2-1 in the FAI Junior Cup quarter final. So certainly that's going to be a mouth-watering clash again.
Very good indeed. What can we say about our own Rachel Blackmore as well?
She's top class. I mean, like, they called her on the announcement machine outside Cheltenham. She won the Queen Mother's Champion Chase, which means that for a girl like Rachel Blackmore, she has won the Champion Hurdle, she has won the Gold Cup, and she has won the Queen Mother Champion Chase. They are the three big races in Cheltenham every year. The rest of them are ordinary hurdle races and bumper races and all of that. But they are the three big races, and she has won the three big races. And one would have to say, what a lady. I mean, it was for the Queen Mother, and they called Rachel Blackmore the Queen of Cheltenham. And when Cheltenham finished on Friday evening, she came back at home to Killinall or that area, and back in Tullis on Saturday last for the races again. She's some lady, along with Paul Townend, the lead jockey for Willie Mullins' outfit. It's a tough game, but back again the day after and riding in Tullis and stopping every minute on our way from the weigh room to the parade ring, youngsters getting their photo taken with her.
National victory in the rugby as well. We beat Scotland.
That's right, Jeff, and we defeated Scotland. Made hard work of it. Didn't play well. I have a funny feel that the World Cup knocked the stuffing out of us, and then we got up for the very first game of the Six Nations. That was against France. And that knocked the stuffing out of us. We never produced the same performance again. Like, we beat Wales 24 points, but we weren't playing well. Then England beat us in Twickenham and that. And look, Scotland, no disrespect to Scotland, they put up a marvellous performance, because I would think that Ireland didn't play well on the day. But look, Fran, that's it. But Fran, a bit of breaking news then. We had Bundy Yackie, the great rugby star. That rugby star around Golden Kilfeagle for the last day or two.
Go away.
Yeah, so he signed Kilfeagle jerseys and rugby balls
was he doing locally? Why was he around?
There was a big wedding in Cashel in the Palace yesterday. Robbie Henshard, one of the top players in Ireland, was getting married. And they were all there. And of course, Bundy Yackie stayed outside in Grantstown. Not at Coney's now, but Grantstown Castle over the road from Coney's. And he was feeding calves just the morning before the wedding at Kevin Powell's farm. What a man. And Fran, I could be meeting him later on today. And
could
I have permission from I have permission from the rugby club, Kilfeagle, to ask him to know would he be around on Sunday to play a Junior Cup game for us against Gary Owen. And I said it to a casual man. He says he couldn't play with you. I said he can. I said, it's Kilfeagle and district. I said, the district goes to the bloody wherever he's from. I said, the All Blacks, the Maoris.
Do you know,
whatever.
Whenever I see him, I imagine what I'd do if I was on a pitch and he was running at me.
You'd have a sign, yield right away.
You can be certain of it. What are you making of Leo Varadkar stepping down?
Fran, look, hey, first of all, opposition are calling for a general election.
Yeah.
I honestly believe we don't want a general election. What in the name of God is a general election going to solve? Let them see out their term. The one thing is, I would hope, is that there would not be a general election called in September, October, November or December. Because you have to think of the misfortunate guys going out canvassing.
Yeah.
And
a
piddling rain's down on top of them and you're getting the double bell at the door. So I am not canvassing again anymore for that carry-on.
Yes.
And that Bradcock, to me, was a fine old scout. Look, hey, he's running the government. And it's, friend, it's a huge job. And that you're trying to please everybody. Look, they have the two parties, Fianna Fáil, who was backing him for the last 10 years. And then you have the Greens as well. And look, I'd wish Simon Harris the very best of luck. I think he comes across as a fine old scout. He possibly didn't do a great job in the health when he was in it. But then again, I'd say the last 40 years, nobody has done a good job in health because it seems to be wrapped up in red tape and all of that.
Well, you're right, because some of the brightest and best have had a go at it over the years. And,
that's it. Like the HSE is, I'd say, it is unbelievable what's going on internally up along the whole way. And that's impossible to run. And I don't know who would actually go in and run the health system. But as regards to Leo Varadkar, I say, your dear, as regards to Leo, the one thing I will say is, right, he possibly lost the dressing room. By that, I mean he's the manager. He lost the respect of the dressing room.
Do you mean with the referendums, or was it something else?
With everything, even with his own, within the party. I mean, like you had Simon Cove, he gone off there with something there, Jordan Cove, that didn't work out right, and he couldn't reprimand any of them. Then you had the referendum, yes and no, some of his own candidates, and they call him for a yes vote and getting their photos taken, and then they jumping ship then the day after when they saw that it went against them. I voted no. Then you had other fellas that didn't vote at all.
Yeah, and 10 of his colleagues then telling him that they won't be throwing their hat in the ring next time round. So
he had certainly lost the respect of the dressing room. And if he had got rid of any of them, it would have been a general election anyway. So he couldn't afford to get rid of any of them in my book.
Yeah.
But I would certainly like to say, listen, thanks for your efforts for the 4 or 5 years. He never done anything against me, so I have no problem with that. I may not be his biggest follower, but I would say some of the opposition got up there and look, they immediately called for a dogfight of an election and all of that thing. Instead of saying, listen, thanks for your efforts, we didn't agree with a lot of them, but look, the best of luck to you for the rest of your life in health and everything else. And I suppose Van America didn't turn out great for him on St. Patrick's Day, because Joe Biden more or less was adamant that they were going to still support Israel. That's in my opinion, and that's only the opinion of
our
comedy.
I mean, it was a nonsense to think that we could have had any influence on that anyway.
None whatsoever, you know. And look, Joe Biden could have put the Trigger Shamrock they got over. He could have put that into a lettuce sandwich. You don't know.
Knowing Joe Biden, he probably did. But anyway, did you want to mention Daffodil Day as well? Did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, fine. Just before that, while I've written down here, I would like to heartily congratulate 2 trainers in Golden for small little area. Paddy Toomey wins above in the Curragh last Monday on real heavy going. But Fozzie Stack here from Thomastown won the big race in the Curragh called the Lincoln. Now, 20 years ago, his dad won it with a horse called Tall Puddle. And of course, the jockey was Joey Sheridan, and we had a celebratory drink in Sir Owens on Monday night. That horse is going for the double tomorrow. He's gone to England since last night. The going will suit him. He's in the big Lincoln race in Doncaster tomorrow, and Joey Sheridan rides him again, and he will love the going. And that's so hopefully, I think it was never done before, simply because it was never tried. So Fozzie says the horse is in good order, and it's all up to the horse on the day. So the best of luck to them tomorrow when they go to the Lincoln. I suppose, on Friday last, I was in Skullcormac in Cashel. That's wonderful additional needs school in Cashel. It was absolutely brilliant, parents and grandparents and the whole lot. And the youngsters, they were getting ready for the first communion. And Father Enda Brady was brilliant with them, along with the teachers and that who work in there.
An amazing facility there.
Amazing,
it? Really, really is.
But, Fran, I suppose, I often said it, one of the greatest thrills I ever got in there was when we went Tipperary won the All-Ireland in 2019, and we went into Scull Cormac and all the youngs, but they were done blue and gold flags and the whole lot. And I got the name of 9 or 10 youngsters. And that, and I did a fictitious commentary on the All-Ireland Tipperary against Scull Cormac. Yes. And I mentioned, we just say Frank Curry and Johnny Luby, they were there in front of me. They were absolutely brilliant. And Patrick Mao was there with the cup. And that, and I said, Johnny Luby gets the ball. And now he's only 7 or 8 years of age. And I said, he knocks or bowls Patrick Mao over and scores a wonderful, wonderful goal for Scull Cormac. Well, Frank, the place erupted.
Ah, brilliant.
And that things like that would always remember you, would always stay with you. Yes, and the Clare and GA Club Championship Preview Night in John Harney's of the Final Four on a fantastic evening assured on Friday the 5th of April. Anthony Daly, Mark Landers, TJ Ryan and Seamus Kelman, and a special guest, Brannock. I inquired, it's not you, because they said that you don't know enough about sport.
That's for sure.
Out of the way. Yeah, Fran. Thursday the 24th to next, best yesterday to Sunday night at 8 p.m. over at Nimbley in the hall. Best of luck to Betty and Jonas Kellnan and crew for the Big Splash Small Fish Nimbley Parish Hall, a comedy by Jim Keane. That's on for the next 2 nights.
Yes.
Daffodil Day, Fran. Mm. What a wonderful organisation it is. I think they're hoping to raise around 6 million.
Are they? Yeah.
I suppose there's not a family out there. There is not a family
sure.
that has not been affected by the dreaded word cancer. And whilst I was down in Gorey doing a Cheltenham preview night, they had a big, because for the Irish Cancer Society, they had a big banner up, and the big banner was, we will not stop until it stops, which is cancer.
Mm.
So it is wonderful the way that people come together to raise funds and that to see, can we secure a remedy or whatever to get rid of the, of cancer, you know.
Yeah. Some people onto us from Clahine, they want you to wish the Clahine Drama Group the very best of luck. The next 2 nights with their production of Arsenic and Old Lace. I think it kicked off last night, in fact. And this person saying, I was there last night and a great, great show indeed. So there you go. They want you to head to Clahine as well.
Jesus, friend. When is that on?
Tonight and tomorrow night, and a kickoff last night.
Friend, you won't believe this. Although I have cousins down in Clyde, I have Googled on the phone to see whereabouts is it. Because when I go into Kia, I normally take the wrong bloody road.
Me too, yeah. There's two roads out. One is the Ardfinnan Road and one is the Lahine Road. I keep That's making right, the same
yeah.
mistake.
Yeah, we'll probably have to ring Matty. He certainly knows.
He certainly does.
He's down that neck of the woods.
All right, Johnny. But, well, is that it, Johnny? Friend, have you anything more for us?
No, I had a rough night. Well, of course, with a rough night last night, but as rough as I had, who rings on it, Gerard Eddie Nugent? Hey, he said, is there any, and I halfway through a pint, he said, is there any way that you could do the broken lines on the field tomorrow morning? He said, this is on the rugby field. Well, friend,
that was this morning, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I got up this morning at 6:15. Right. And headed up to the rugby club and took out the paint and done the broken white lines. They can do the other lines themselves. And Eddie rang me then, a few minutes ago. My God, he said, you've done a great job. He says, for a man with a few pints, he said, you're as straight as ever. He said, I think, he said, you should keep drinking and keep lining the fields. Anyway, friend. Hey,
isn't it great? The other thing I wanted to mention to you, in case I forget it as well, when I was over in Nottingham, Michael Fitzgerald was over there, by the way, and he did us proud. He gave a great address to the crowd and stuff. He was representing Tipperary. But you know who was running it was Jerry Malumbi. You'd know all the Malumbis there, wouldn't you?
By God above tonight.
Yeah, so there
By
you
God, go. I'll tell you, friend, hey, listen, that's some ambassador that we sent over, Michael Fitzgerald.
Oh, he was terrific over there.
What a man. Yeah. Friend, he can talk without any humming and hawing or whatever the case may be. And he would certainly represent the blue and gold of Tipperary and all of Tipperary with passion and with pride.
But I'd say he's the only golden man ever to get a presentation from the Sheriff of Nottingham.
By Christ.
Genuinely from the Sheriff of Nottingham. But anyway, there you go. All right,
well,
Johnny.
Michael met the Pope one time. He had a grand photo beyond in the house of himself and the Pope. I said to him, how did you go with the Pope? Jesus, Johnny, he said, I got on fine. He said, you won't believe this. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, he was asking for you. I said, Michael, thanks a lot. Thanks. Now, I'm going in to see Father Coffey and Gordon because, just hold on a second, friend. Well, for you now on the other phone. Hold on.
Right.
Let's see
right.
Who is
we'll talk away among ourselves here.
That tis Coney. Just hold on a second. Tony.
Hello, Tony.
I'm on double line. Anyway, that's funny. He wants to talk about the climate change.
Tony would know a lot about climate change.
I'll tell you one thing, the flatulence and the climate change from him. Anyway, listen, we'll talk about all this.
Good luck, Johnny. Good luck, Johnny. Thanks. Bye-bye. That's the great Johnny Luby there from the Fourpenny Road this morning, covering a lot of different topics there as well. Mike says you should have a competition asking how many pubs did Johnny mention in the last 25 minutes. Well, it's a good point. He gets through a lot of pubs, I can tell you. Good morning, Fran and Ali. John Leeson is my name from Pecan. I want to wish my daughter Aoife and the under 18 Camogie team the very best of luck when they take on Antrim on Sunday in Belfast. They're a very honest, hardworking and skillful group of ladies, and I'd also like to wish good luck to the senior Camogie team that takes on Cork at the weekend. And as I say, that comes in from John Leeson this morning. Thanks for keeping us up to speed on that, John. Patrick was on to say a cabinet reshuffle. They should shuffle off and call a general election now. It is the time, but after the failed referendums, because they know they're in trouble. Meanwhile, Mary Lou is trying to claw her way to the top job with her vile attacks. The most outspoken she has been in a long time. Just my opinion, says Patrick.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, Puck On. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.